The book of Philippians, which is written by the Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament, the fourth chapter, and we're going to look at verse number 12 through 13, and we'll see what the word of the Lord will say to us today. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 through 13, and when you have that, just say amen, and we'll move forward. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Philippians, the fourth chapter, verse 12 and 13, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Amen. You can read along with me. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Verse 13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. And I'm starting a new series, Thinking Positive. New series, this is part one. How are you thinking is the title of the message. How are you thinking? Part one, series, Thinking Positive, or Positive Thinking. By the raising your right hand, this week I sat down and I thought of some faith affirmations, some faith sayings that we can speak out of our mouth, and we put it in the atmosphere and energize the Spirit of God to attack against anything that will come up against us. So by the raising of your right hand, I just want you to repeat after me. I will not be deceived by negative thinking. I will flourish in faith and life. I'm determined to be what God sees me.
I'm determined to be what God sees me.
In Christ Jesus, all things are possible.
In Christ Jesus, all things are possible.
I made mistakes in the past.
I made mistakes in the past.
But they hadn't last.
But they hadn't last.
I'm in struggle today.
But I'm on my way.
Jesus was victory.
Jesus was victory.
And Jesus is victory.
And Jesus is victory.
When darkness comes,
when darkness comes,
I'm on the run.
I'm on the run.
For God I live.
For God I live.
And for God I'll die.
And for God I'll die.
One more time. I will not be deceived by negative thinking.
I will not be deceived by negative thinking.
I will flourish in faith and life.
I will flourish in faith and life.
I'm determined to be what God sees me. In Christ Jesus, all things are possible.
In Christ Jesus, all things are possible.
I made mistakes in the past.
I made mistakes in the past.
But they hadn't last.
But they hadn't last.
I'm in struggle today.
I'm in struggle today.
But I'm on my way.
But I'm on my way.
Jesus was victory.
Jesus was victory.
And Jesus is victory.
And Jesus is victory.
When darkness comes.
When darkness comes.
I'm on the run.
I'm on the run.
For God I live.
For God I live.
And for God I'll die. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. One of the interesting things that the Apostle Paul is writing to us is he's trying to help us arrive at a certain level in a certain place because he himself had to go through that passage and go through that route in life. And one of the things that in the Christian walk, in the Christian faith, that we must stay positive about any and every situation, as Paul said. He says, in every situation, he see it as temporary. We'll get to that in a minute, to see it as temporary. I want you to think positive about everything that you will be and that you will go through in life. I want you to be positive about it. I want you to know that what comes our way is what God is going to do. He's going to turn it around and he's going to add another level unto us, and we'll speed through and we'll go through and we'll become victorious. Trials and tests are put, and mistakes that we make are put in our way so that we'll learn more of who Jesus is, what he requires of us, and specifically how he wants us to move throughout life. Everything that everybody else does not mean that we can do the same thing. It is specifically what God is designing for you as a Christian, what he wants in your life, and what assignment he wants you to do down here upon the face of the earth, before you leave and go to glory. And this is what the Apostle Paul is trying to get over to the Christians, that just because the world is awkward against that which we believe in, against that which we live for, that does not mean that we can undertake a spirit of doubt or a spirit of negativity. Now I want you to think about this. If you have failed, great thing. It's a good thing that you have failed. It's a good thing that you have made mistakes. Because without making them, how do you know to do anything right? Without us not knowing that we were wrong, that's why the Ten Commandments had came in the first place. How did we know that we were wrong? How did we know we put things before God? Except that the commandments told us. That's what Paul said in Romans. That's what he said in the Exodus chapter 20. As he was coming down outside Mount Sinai, and he's giving the Ten Commandments, he's telling us, hey, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him whom shall thou serve. Thou shalt love thy mother and father, so days may be long. How do we know that we did wrong except we failed? There's a blessing in failing, because then you can succeed. Let's look at some of the famous people that had failed in their lifetime. Oprah Winfrey, she was not always on the top. She's worth about $4 or $5 billion today. All of her assets and everything. Oprah Winfrey, she first started out on television. She was a reporter. They fired Oprah Winfrey because they said she was not a TV personality. But look at her now. She's won it. She's got her own program. She had that Oprah Winfrey program when she was on ABC, NBC, or whatever that was. She made millions of money, and now she's in her home. She failed at it. She was told that she couldn't do this. She was told that you would never amount to be anything because they had a different perspective of her. But look at her now. Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, in his high school, when he played basketball, he got cut from the high school basketball team. And he went home and he cried that whole day. Look at Michael Jordan now. Isn't he not phenomenal? If we stop short of what people think of us, we'll never amount to see what God wanted us to be in this life. If we let failure, we let mistakes, if we let different routes we took upon, and we don't decide to reroute ourselves and get back on track and go and do what God thus says do, we will never see the fulfillment of the things that he has for us in this life. Remember, it says, blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. Look at Eminem. He's a rapper. He dropped out of high school, had not earned a high school diploma at all. He was on drugs. He was in the streets. He was gangbanging. He was doing all of that. And look at him. He's a lyricist. Have you ever heard any of his lyrics? The guy can put some of the phenomenal words together and make sense of it and cause you to see a story when you're only just hearing it by his voice. He failed at the expectation of graduating from high school. Look at Bill Gates. You would think that he's going to Harvard, that he was going to finish and he was going to get his degree. Bill Gates dropped out of Harvard, started his own business when it failed, but look, he's one of the most computer software giants in the world today. Look at those individuals who failed. Dr. Seuss, writing a children's book. Everybody likes Dr. Seuss because he can rhyme, he can put things together. Dr. Seuss was rejected by 27 publications. Nobody wanted to produce his work. Nobody wanted to put forward his work at all. 27 people denied him. Look at Dr. Seuss right now. Even in his grave, his books still ring. He's still bringing money to people that hear. Look at J.K. Rowling, the one that created the Harry Potter book. She was rejected 12 times. They said, you do not have the imagery, you do not have the ability for your work to be published. I suggest then there was one publication that decided to publish her work, but he said at the same time, he said, I suggest you get a second job because this is not going to do anything. Look at her now. She is worth $1 billion of U.S. dollars. J.K. Rowling. See, we cannot let faith, we cannot let failure determine where we're going to go in life. It's what you do after that. And one more person in the world, Walt Disney. When he had a newspaper editor and they fired him and told him this, you lack image, you lack imagination, and fired him. We're going to walk Disney's things all the time. These movies are phenomenal. Imagineers, I mean, he created that, his name still carries today. And he got used in parks all over this nation. And so you can't stop short of that. A man by the name of Abdul Kalam said, don't just read the stories about success, because those stories are nothing but messages. He said, but read the stories of failure, and in the failure, you're going to know how to gain and get success. We cannot just think that we're not going to arrive anywhere because of some happening. And you have to understand that success comes with a price. Discouragement, rerouting yourself, redoing it again, all of that will come to face you. But it's you, the determination in you, to make it happen where you will succeed or not succeed. And there was a man, by a lecturer by the name of Randy Pausch. Randy Pausch, he was a university professor in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he said, you know, sometimes the cards that are dealt to us in life, we cannot change them. He said, but the thing that you can change and make a difference, because it falls upon you, is how you play the hand. You ever played spades before? Sometimes you look at it and say, oh man, I ain't got a good hand at all. But it's how you play the hand to triumph in that game. It's how you make people think a certain way where they can go and make a false move, and there a card that you have that is not really all that, but boom, it takes that book. Now don't act like I ain't never played spades before, and I hate being in church. But yeah, we played spades, amen. But it just, how you play the hand, that's what he's saying. And there's a lot of successful people walking around with the potential that they hadn't put it out yet. A lot of successful people. And let us look at this. Let's look at some of the challenges. Challenges to thinking positive. Challenges to success. One of the things that challenges good is, write this down, is it help us grow. A challenge or failure or a starting over again, let us not just look at it in the negative, all in all, 100% negative, but let us start taking those challenges and those things, that situations that are pitted up against us, let us mark this down, let us look at it as a help for us to grow. In Philippians, the fourth verse, the apostle says this. He said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. See, what he's saying is that the things that have come against him in a negative way, that didn't look bright for his future or didn't look possible to make a certain move, he said, I've learned to look at it as temporary. I've learned to look at it as a stepping stone. There was times when I was in college, I did not have the money to pay for a book. But the thing that I have learned was to how to go around the obstacle, or how to stay with the obstacle without the obstacle taking me down. I said, a student that had paid for a book that was $100 that I couldn't afford at the time, can I take your book? And I would copies for 10 cents then. And I would make a double, I put two pages on one page. And I would copy previous chapters so that I can be ready up. And I tell you, I have learned in that situation, and I got a good grade at the end of that semester, and I didn't even have to purchase the textbook. God was showing me, just because a stumbling block or something comes in your way, don't stop. Find a creative or ingenious avenue and go for it. You have to think beyond that obstacle, and you have to see yourself where you want to be. Visions and dreams are that when you see yourself down in the future where you want to be, but you got to walk through it and walk to it. And every time something comes up, then that means you got to be creative and get around that obstacle. Paul said, I've learned the secret. So what does he tell? Here's a secret of getting through. There's a secret of taking a situation and changing it around. What is that secret? Faith. Determination. He said, whether well-fed or hungry. So Paul, here's an apostle, said that he was in a state of being hungry. He was in a state of wanting a meal that he couldn't get. There was times that my money would only stretch. And I would have so much money, and I had to make this thing last at least a week and a half to eat food. It's not that you don't have the money. Sometimes there's other responsibilities that you put more emphasis on and priority on, and then you say, look, I got to take this $80 and I got to live 1 week. So how are you going to live and eat? Then you can't eat the big meals. You have to buy the meals where you can afford, get yourself through. Make a big pot of soup, and that soup should last you 3.5 to 4 days. You've got to learn. He said there's a secret that if you tell folks, they might not follow it. But there's no secret in being ashamed when you know God is on your side and you know where he's trying to take you. He said, I've learned in every situation to look at it as temporary, to look at it as a part in my life to help me grow and to overcome. He said, whether living in plenty or want. There was a time I had to live in subsidized housing. There's a time that I had to while going through college. There's a time that I had to need that assistance, but look where I am today. Don't take where you are right now as that you'll never be anything anywhere else. You can and you will. You have to say it. I am what God says I am, and I will do what the vision he has given me to do. I am an overcomer. I believe, and I don't have doubt. I am not dismayed. I do believe. I am a certain. I am a child of God. I sit in heavenly places. I will not be bound. I will not take no for an answer. You have to speak these things, and you have to know. There are people right now getting their education at 80 years old, and they are proud as ever. At least they've done it before they went to the grave. It doesn't matter when you got your degree, guess what? You got it. Amen? The second thing that we have to do when we see challenges come our way is that we have to fight and knowing God's promises. Okay? Doubt will come against you when you are trying to meet a goal, when you are trying to be successful, when you're trying to climb to the next level, when you're trying to get the first home, when you're trying to get the second home that's bigger and greater than the first home, when you're trying to get a second job. There are doubts that come against you. That is a force that the enemy uses so well against us that it's a spiritual, demonic warfare that he wages against us. He did it with Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he did it with Jesus when he was in the wilderness. And so what is this? Paul said, I have learned the secret of being content in any situation I am. Here's the great apostle Paul writing all these books. He was the heart of the faith. He was the head of the Christian faith. And it wasn't no different for him. So here's Eve. She's a female. And she's in the beautiful Garden of Eden. And doubt set in by the voice and the whispers of Satan. Here is Jesus, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's God in human flesh, and he's in the wilderness. Nothing's around him. He has nothing that looks beautiful like the Garden of Eden, and he is tempted with doubt to not succeed. Jesus' mission here was to come and be perfect and do everything right so he can win up to God and destroy the works of the devil. While he was in the barren wilderness with no priestly comfort, here comes doubt. So Paul is saying what they're saying. It doesn't matter if you live in a palace. It doesn't matter if you live in a shack. Doubt is a force against all humanity, and it will come against you to stop you from your destiny. But Eve, it'll come to the female and it'll come to the male. That's why I gave that example. He tricked up Eve. Eve had a break and a division in their relationship. They lost the battle in the Garden of Eden, both of them. Here comes the tempter, and he said, anytime you want to do something and you know God told you to do it, here comes the second guessing. Satan whispered in her ear, or he'll put the thought in your mind, did God really tell you to do that? See, when that happens and you know you're trying to climb for success and you know the Lord is on your side, then you got to recognize that's Satan. He says, did God really want you to do that? Well, let me tell you something about God. He knows that the day that you eat of that which he told you not to, you're going to be like him. You're going to know good and evil. You see how he twisted up? And he made it seem so good and so right that Eve began to feel inferior to the God that who made her. How are we going to feel inferior to God when God gave us everything that he had and said, here, this is yours. Manage it. Make it grow. Be fruitful. And he comes and he tells us. And he came to Jesus in the wilderness when he was at his weakest. And he comes to us when we're weak in the faith, when we're thinking that, no, God didn't tell me to do this. I'm going to stop. I'm going to turn around. I'm not going to do it. They don't like me. They don't want me to succeed anyway. Who is they? If God told you it, if God is for you, who can be against you? All things are possible to him or to her that believe. You have to believe beyond failure. And God put me to the test one time early in my life. I did take a college course that I failed. I failed this particular thing. I was walking to school about 4 miles. I was doing everything that I could, but I still ended up failing that course. And I cried and cried. I said, Lord, I had faith. I was walking to school because I didn't have the gas money to get to the university. And I was copying people's textbooks, and I said, God, but I failed this course. I did everything that I could and all of that. But you know what? It didn't stop there. He says, faith isn't based on you saying you have it. You have to prove it. I had to take that course over again, and then I passed it with an A+. That's faith. That's determination. I didn't give up. I went again and took the course again, and where I failed it with an F, I got an A+ in that. Faith doesn't stop one time, but you got to keep doing it. You got to keep doing it. Michael Jackson said, I done shot over 10,000 shots in my life, and I missed at least 3,000 of them. But he's still at the top of his game. He's still a noted and wanted person on everything. You got to believe this. When doubt comes to your mind, you have to be like Jesus. Where Eve failed was, she didn't say, God said. But Jesus came and he told us, when that doubt comes to your mind, you got to speak to your mind and you got to tell him like Jesus did. Jesus told him what God required. He quoted scripture to him. And when you do that, then doubt will leave and you can be determined to go forward. One is trusting the Lord with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. When doubt comes, he told you to do something. And you just looking at it, and people looking at you, you crazy, it ain't gonna work. He said, lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble, in time of struggling. For the Spirit of God gives us not a spirit of fear or timidity, but he gives us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline and a sound mind. You gotta do that. And God says something, you got fearful. For God gave me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. He didn't give me a spirit of fear. Then Jesus said, cast all your cares on the Lord, and he will strengthen you, and he will never let you be shaken. These are the things that we need to be saying. Amen. You are my refuge and shield. I put my hope in you, O God. Cast all your anxiety, your cares upon him, because he cares for you. Nobody care about me anyway. This woe is me, this pity spirit that we take on. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But take heart, I've overcome the world. You've got to start quoting them verses. Satan, I cast you out of my mind. The Lord told me to do this and it's going to succeed. I am a succeeder. I am an overcomer. These are the things that you have to continue to tell yourself. Amen? Now, how do you deal with negative thinking when it comes? I told you one is quote scripture. Where there's a foundation condition to help you overcome all of the negative thoughts in your mind. One is, you got to be joyful first. Let's look in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13 reads this. A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. First of all, to combat negative thinking is that you've got to be joyful in your heart, not in your mind, not in your feelings. It says in your heart. A merry heart, your King James Version will say, a merry heart causes the countenance to brighten up. You've got to put joy in you. You've got to be happy for what you are, who you are, what you will become, not on what people say and things that you have to be, have that know. You've got to know that you know that you know that you know that you are happy in yourself. If you're not happy in yourself, ain't nobody else going to be happy for you. And then they're going to keep tacking you with doubt. They're going to keep tacking you with inferiority thoughts. You have to be happy for yourself because it says that a cheerful heart, a happy heart makes the face glad. But if you're wounded in your spirit, it's going to show and reflect in your countenance. How to deal with negative thinking. First, you got to change your heart. Be happy. Get happy about it. Shout about it for yourself. And the second thing is, you got to surround yourself with winners. Surround yourself by people who are winners. If you hang around somebody that ain't going nowhere, don't want to go nowhere, let's just say that. Everybody has a chance to go somewhere. It's how they activate the faith in their life to make their assignments come to pass. But if you hang around people who are not trying to go anywhere, then how are you going to overcome doubt, negativity, or how are you going to reach the point of success that God is trying to take you? Let's look in the 12th chapter of Acts and let's take a look at this in the Christian life. There are just people that just don't want to go too far in life, but you have to make up in your mind you're going to do what God tells you to do. Amen? Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and after I say this, we'll close. Acts chapter 12, verse 25, it says, when Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. Now, they get ready to embark on their second missionary journey. Their first missionary journey was successful. People were getting delivered from demons. People were getting saved. People were accepting Christ Jesus as Lord. And they were leaving false religion alone. People were moving from the occult to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they were at much success. But that much success was not without attack from his own people. So they decided to go on a second missionary journey. So they decided to take somebody along with them by the name of John Mark. So they picked him up and said, hey, you know what? You look profitable, you look suitable, you look like you're up to par. Come on, go on the second missionary journey with us. So you go into Acts chapter 13, verse 5, you're going to see it says this. Acts chapter 13, verse 5, just the next chapter. And verse 5 says this. They said, when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues, John was with them as their helper. Now he's helping them. Now he's assisting them. We're talking about you're reaching success in what God told you to do. And you bring somebody along and you're thinking, yeah, we can do this together. We're going to make it. We're going to accomplish a lot of things. So John was their helper, and a lot of the Jews were being saved. But look in verse 13 through 14. Go down to verse 13 and 14 in that same chapter 13 of Acts. Verse 13 says, from Paphos, Paul and his companions sailed to Perga and then Pamphylia, where John left them to return to Jerusalem. Look at that. He left them and returned to Jerusalem. If you want to reach your goal, you can't keep people with you who are not going to go all the way. You need them warriors. You need people who's going to show you the way, who's not going to just say it out of their mouth, but in their actions, they are putting their foot to the grind or foot to the pedal, and they are making it happen. But along the way, when Paul was casting out demons and people getting delivered, this John Mark had fear in him, and he was not ready to go any further. He took off and went back the other way. Don't go chasing after folks who you know you tried to help to come to a certain place, a certain level in their life. Some people are wounded. Some people are broken. Some relationships you can't even repair anybody. If their heart first ain't happy about who they are, them are the wrong people to continue to try to take along in a relationship. They will pull you down before you can pull them up. And we find people, every time you get your feet in the muddy waters and you find people turning their backs on you, that's an indication they ain't ready. You got to move forward. You got to go and be happy about going alone. Jesus didn't promise that people will all go with us. You got to be happy about going alone. You got to be happy about this salvation alone. So he turned back. And now look at the last one, Acts chapter 15, verse 36, and I'm going to close. In Acts 15, 36, one of his cousins tried to dumb it down. Verse 36 says this, sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had left them in Pamphylia and did not continue with them in the work. You'll have people come up and try to convince you otherwise and say, look, let's give this brother a second chance. Paul stood up and said, if I'm going to do what God called me to do and I'm going to do it with success, he ain't coming with us. Because at the time we needed him, he took off running. And they got into an argument over this. Hey, I know this your cousin. I know you're looking up for him. I know you're trying to put a good word in for him, but not so. And Paul ended up leaving Barnabas and his cousin there alone and said, I can't deal with the pathologies in your lives. He said, we're going to do it, or we're not. And Paul ended up taking Silas with him, who became strength with him in his third missionary journey.